Let's turn to the passage that Randy would like us to look at today. It is 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7. This is from the English Standard Version. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands. This is John's testimony. Concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we just want to bow in humility before you as we understand from our scriptures that we were only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, who voluntarily gave His life for us so that we could have eternal life. It's hard for us to imagine that love that you had for us, O God, our Father, our Savior, our strength for day to day. And we thank you that in the fullness of your triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have power that others do not have. Even as we face difficulties in our political world, in our physical world, sometimes within ourselves, as we struggle against sin and against depression and against all of the terrible things that we hear about and read about, even in our own county sometimes. And oh God, we thank you that our hope is not in anything except you. In you alone, we find hope, we find peace, we find joy. We thank you that John found joy in writing these words so that we could read them today. So many years ago, he wrote them. And he did it because it made him happy. And we thank you today that as we read these and study these, it will bring great joy to our lives, just like it did to him. And it's all because of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We pray for those that are struggling with the colds and viruses and whatever it is that's ailing people today. We just pray that you'd help us through faith to continue on and to be strong in the goodness and work of the Lord. And we come together today to praise Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I have nothing for you. Pastor called me at 7:30. I have nothing for you. You know, I can tell you that this morning is going to be interesting. Okay? The reason I had Pastor Dave read that in 1 John, I know Pastor's been preaching from Revelation. And when I told you I have nothing for you, that means of myself, I have nothing for you. But God can take and use something, even the something that he likes to take, the part that is unprepared and unmade, and make it into something. What did he do when he took and saved us? We were lost. Didn't know Christ, had no hope. We were sinful creatures. 1 John, when I had him do this, I wanted you to understand something. John's taking and he's preaching or teaching in this aspect that he's telling us about the one who has provided us our salvation. Now, Pastor's been preaching on Revelation. And one of the things I want you to look at today is the aspect that we are in the end times, the last days. Things are going at an accelerated pace. I don't know if you've turned on the news. I got to get out of this habit. I turn it on I get up in the morning, put the heater on in the bathroom, go in and sit down at the I push the button on the coffee maker next. Go in and sit down in front of the computer and pull up Fox News. And I look at this. And, you know, it's kind of like a morning ritual, and I read through the things, and I'm appalled of what's going on. I didn't think it would get any worse, but it just seems that everything is going south so quickly that I don't recognize our nation. I don't recognize what's happening among our, like in the cities and around the people in Lakeport and everywhere else, the things and the evil that is overtaking us. It's appalling. It is happening so quickly that if you're not aware of the evil that is coming and happening now, your heart must not be right. Because if you can't see all this stuff that's happening and seeing it as being of Satan and of the evil in our world, then you must not know God. And that's my concern, is that you know God. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the one thing that can drive the evil back and away from our hearts. That is the only thing that can take and save us. When we were reading in 1 John, since we are in the last days, you know, he takes and he's telling us here that he was a witness of the Lamb of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes. We looked at him. We looked at Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In our hands, we reached out and we could touch him. He was real. He was the Word of life. For the life that it was manifested, it was made known to us, and we'd have seen it and bear witness. And now we're going to show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and we heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot have fellowship together without knowing Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we have to do is preach the gospel. And I am concerned that if there's anybody here that does not know the Lord, has not asked Jesus Christ into their hearts and believed in Him by faith, that He can take away your sins and make it possible for you to be able to stand before His presence. You could enter into the Holy of Holies in God's holy presence without dying if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, go away forever, die, but have everlasting life. My little children, these things write I unto you, that if you sin, that you sin not. And if any man sins, this is in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 1. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with Father, Jesus Christ, righteous. Jesus Christ is able to go between us and God the Father and be an advocate. You know what that is? You ever heard of an advocate general? A lawyer? Someone who takes and pleads your case? But we have an advocate who's going to plead the case that He paid for our sins. And He is not. And He is the propitiation for our sins, the full payment, the payment in full, the payment that satisfies God's wrath towards you for your sins. He is the payment in full for your sins. Guess what? And not for ours only, not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world. He made it possible for every last being on earth to be saved. He made it possible. He was the full payment for all of it. Every sin that's ever been done. And He was the full payment that satisfied that. He made it possible for us to be saved. Not for the sins of our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth's not in Him. But whosoever keeps His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And by this we know that we are in Him. He that says he abides in Him ought himself also so to walk, have a manner of life, of taking and living a life that's pleasing to God. You should walk even as He walked. Do we do that? That's a high calling, isn't it? So, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. But again, a new commandment I write to you, which is thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness of sin, the darkness is past. And the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. I don't know about you, but do you see darkness in our world right now? People are killing each other. People are harming each other, beating each other, doing things that are unspeakable because they are in darkness. What does light do? When you turn on a light, if you took all the windows and closed them off in here and you took and you made this into pure darkness without any light, you know what's fascinating about the human eye with light? You can take and in a perfectly dark room. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave. How many of you have been in a cave with no light? It's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? It makes you feel closed in, and that you're Are you secure? No. You don't want to take and walk off of a trail in a cave and fall who knows how far. But I've been in caves like that, and you realize even just a little tiny, I had a light one time like this, a pen, and you turn it on, it's just this little tiny light with little, it wouldn't shine very bright outside, but that light, just that little tiny light, took and seemed like an enormous amount of light. And you could light up things. But if you could take and get a little bigger light, like we used to have lanterns and stuff we'd take in, and you could see everything because then it reflects off of all the stuff in the cave, and you could see all the stuff. But you realize this world that we live in now is in darkness. They can't see the truth. They can't see, they can't even see their, they know they're sinful, but they can't see their sin as being anything that's not normal. They think that's just the way it is. They don't understand that the light shines on that sin and shows it how sinful it is and how evil you are, and you are not going to be able to make your way to God no matter what. So the light, when God's talking about the light here, it's the light that reveals the aspect of sin. And then you can take and take care of your sin by taking and believing that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin, and all you have to do is believe that he did it. He paid for your sin. That's why the resurrection was so important. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? You know how important that is? If you don't believe that he didn't rise from the dead, he has no power over life or death or anything else, and everything that he said about saving you from sin isn't true. Because he can't even live. So when the resurrection took and took care of death, which was what? The payment? Our payment, our sin caused death to die. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior here and now, you are going to die eternally. And when God brings you before that great white throne, which we're studying that in Revelation, going to hit that in Revelation at the very end. When you're before that great white throne, you have no excuse. You are going to die forever in torment, separated from God, unless you have given your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can take and save yourself from sins, is to take and have Christ save you. Now that being said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ right here and right now, your time is short. If you don't know him, you could die tomorrow. You could die this instant when you walk out. I could die right here from a heart attack because I haven't prepared this sermon this morning. Kind of stressful, you know. But the thing is that when we're taken and you're here, your moment, you're not guaranteed of anything. You can fake it all you want about being a believer in Jesus Christ. But if you have never confessed his name and trusted in him only to take and save you from your sins and give you eternal life, you're lost. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you're lost. He rose from the dead to save you from your sins, to show you that he had power over death, over sin. And if you're here this morning and if you're just faking it, being religious, my word to you is you need to get saved, because more is coming and trouble is coming. Troublesome times are here. And it's going to get worse. Revelation, I believe, was not written. I just said that this morning to Richard back there. That I don't believe Revelation was, I believe it was written for twofold purposes. One is to show the glory of God in what and how he is going to be doing things. And two, I believe it's a roadmap for those believers who are going to be coming during the revelation, after we're raptured out. They need to know. And they're going to see it in this book. And they're going to see it, and they're going to understand it, that it's of God. And God's going to be saving all kinds of people through his word during the tribulation. And when we're reading Revelation, think that through, that, you know, God's preparing the end to come. So, encouragement. I was thinking this morning that, you know, I'm not necessarily, I know that my calling was never to be a pastor or a preacher of a church. I just never was. I know what I'm called to do, what God wants me to do, and that is to be within a church and to be a leader and part of, like a deacon, to be a deacon and or an elder in a church, and to be able to fill in when it needs to be filled in. But also, my purpose is not any different than a pastor's is. I'm supposed to take and proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I believe all of us are supposed to do that. I have one note of encouragement for you. If you're saved, you will not go through the tribulation. I don't believe you will. You are taken and destined for salvation. God has saved you. And when you take and you do that, you've accepted the Lord, that is the greatest encouragement of looking around you in a world today that has fallen apart. Do you know that? Everything that's happening in our world today that we look at, you know, I just cannot fathom the things that are going on. Some of them are so far out there that I'm just like, wow, how can this be that they even think that? And of course, I bounce that off my wife back and forth, and she's always pulling me back and saying, well, you know, you need to get back to reality here. Yeah, okay. And the reality is that God is in control of everything. And praise God, he is. So, in Romans chapter 10, see if I got it. I've got these little stickies here. I got to read the right ones because I lose them there. There we go. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. There we go. But the righteousness is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not to your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, and what that is to say, bringing Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what say is it? The word is near unto you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with your heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I beg of you, if you haven't done it, do it now. There could never be a more appropriate time than to accept the day of salvation from the Lord. Hebrews 10:25. A lot of you are familiar with this verse. But what I want to point out on this one, we're going to back up a little bit in chapter 10. It says, in verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, you people that are saved, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what he's referring to there? The Holy of Holies. You know, did you know that during the, you know, even to the time of Christ, when he was going in and out of the temple, that the Holy of Holies had this big curtain separating it, right? And what was in there? Ark of the Covenant. What's the Ark of the Covenant? Ark of the Covenant of what? Anybody? Abraham, well, yeah. covenant with Abraham so that, you know, for Israel, but an Ark of the Covenant. What did they do with the Ark of the Covenant? They sprinkled blood on it, right? During the Day of Atonement. They went in there, and if you went in there without the blood, what would happen? Well, you'd die because you couldn't be in the presence of God. And so when they went in and they do that, they only did that once a year, of sprinkling the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, you know. So the Day of Atonement. And they would take for the sins of the people. They would go in there and do that. And it was representative of the aspect of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And we were able to take and go in, and he's saying, here now, you can come and you can approach the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. You can go before him. Why? You remember what happened to that curtain that separated the main part of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, then the Holy of Holies? Remember what happened? When Christ died, what happened? That thing was rent from the top to the bottom. And this blows me away. Have you ever really studied what that curtain was made out of? Do you know? Interwoven cloth that was taken and woven and woven and back and forth, interwoven like that. You know how thick it was? It's like this thick. It's huge, heavy, going up and down. Impossible. There is no way anyone could ever take that curtain and tear it from top to bottom and open up the way into the Holy of Holies. It was rent from top to bottom when Christ died on the cross. You now have access to the Holy of Holies, but before, there was no way you could have, especially as, you know, we're Gentiles. No way. No possible way we could enter into God's presence. But he says that we can come before that Holy of Holies with boldness by a new and living way in which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, it was representative when that veil was torn of what Christ was doing. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, confidence of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What's that referencing? The Day of Atonement again, right? The sprinkling of the blood. Whose blood? Jesus Christ. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that has promised this. And let us consider one another. Well, that was what I was talking about, considering. That means thinking about each other, okay? Let us consider one another to provoke, to push onward, push upward, to provoke us unto love and to good works, for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. See, a lot of people use that and talk about the aspect of, you know, well, you should be going to church. Uh-uh. Not talking about that. That's part of it, but it's not just talking about going to church. It's not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together. In other words, you should be getting together, people, with one another, not forsaking it, not leaving it apart. It doesn't matter who you're going to be doing it. He says, not forsaking it. What's interesting about this, he tells us to do that. Not forsaking the assembly together as the manner of some people are, but exhorting or building up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What do you see happening in our world today? What do we know is happening in our world today? What do we know for a surety as believers in Jesus Christ is going to happen? We know he's coming again. We're to watch for him. But he's saying also, too, is that we need to come together and build each other up, exhort one another, talk about what's going on in our world, what's happening, talk about the aspect of what, of preaching the gospel to one another, to the other people, and about our salvation. To boldly come before his throne. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as you see. See, and as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. This is verse 35, which has great compensation of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just, they shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, and shall, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Again, I encourage you, if you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know that what it says, that you have to be saved and believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You need to know that. And if you know it, then don't draw back. Don't be one of these people that pull away from it and then just act religious for the rest of your life, which may be short. Christ is coming, and he will not tarry. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Let's see if I can get there. I've gone past it there. Now I'm going to read this through and do a little bit of expounding as we're going on some of the words. First Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ directs our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. How does that happen, by the way? How does your heart get established unblameable before God for your sins? Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and he's done what he has done for our sins, if you believe by faith that he is the only way, then he has cleansed us from all sin. And we're able to stand in his presence. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, then when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. So now we have the directive of how we're supposed to be acting in these end times. We are supposed to be walking to please God. You know that what it means with walk. They say conversation or our way of life. Doing a way of life that is pleasing to God, so that you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication or sexual immorality, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the desire of sensuality, things that please you, whether it be food, drink, whatever, not in the desire of sensuality where it overtakes you, even as the Gentiles who do not know God, that no man go beyond and wrong his brother. That word defraud means that you take and do something that's wrong to your brothers in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. So he, therefore, that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you don't need to I write to you, for you yourselves, because they're believers, are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase the more and more in this. And that you study to be quiet. That's interesting. How many of us study to be quiet? You know, he's not talking about just sitting there reading a book and everything, studying to be quiet. He says you study to be quiet. In other words, you're observing what's going on around you, and you're studying what, how, let's put it this way, how godly people work. They're studying to be quiet. In other words, look at it, how they're not unsettled and stuff. That you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you. All right? So you got to do things. You can't just sit at home not doing anything. You got to be doing stuff. That you may walk honestly towards them that are on the outside, and that you may lack of nothing. It is never right for those who are believers and righteous believers to take and be deceptive. You are never to be deceptive to those on the outside or to your own brethren within the church. You're never to be out there deceiving people. You're to walk and live honestly and give a good report to them that are on the outside, that you may have lack of nothing. Interesting. But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you don't sorrow, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, here we go again, and rose again, believing in the aspect that Jesus Christ is alive today because he rose again. Even so, them who are asleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that you who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not go before them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Because Jesus Christ has power over death. He has power to break the chains of sin that causes death. He is alive, and he's coming back again. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My dad's in heaven. He's with the Lord right now. Kelly's grandpa's in heaven, and he's with the Lord right now. I look forward to the day to be able to see them again. And I know it's going to happen. What's going to be cool is if I'm not dead before this, I get to see them again for sure, and they're probably going to be coming back here. It says that those that are dead are going to go before us. So we're going to know that they're there when we're going into heaven, when we're raptured. That's exciting. And he goes on in chapter 5. I always thought, I hate divisions here, okay? These parts where you have chapters that divide. This really wasn't supposed to stop where I stopped. So, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, which is the day of the judgment, so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, and this is interesting because there's a play on words here, and you need to pay attention. Okay, these pronouns are important. It says, they shall say, who's they? That's the unbelievers, people that don't believe this. They shall say, peace and safety. And then sudden destruction is going to come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Not talking about believers here. We're not the they. But you hear that? But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You, as believers, you need to know that you're not in darkness. We're in what? Light. Light shows things, right? You are all sons of light and sons of the day. And we are not of the night nor of the darkness. We are not to be confused about this. The Lord is coming back for us. We are not going to be caught like as a thief in the night for destruction. Therefore, let us not sleep. You hear that? Let us not sleep. As do others, people who aren't saved, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us watch, look for, and be sober-minded. Have a mind that is clear and functioning. For they that are asleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we would live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We are supposed to be comforting one another with the aspect that we are saved. We have no worries here. This world is going to take, and according to 1 Peter, is going to take and melt in the fervent heat and go away. And seeing that all these things happen, what kind of manner of people are you supposed to be? You know these things. You know that God has prepared everything from the foundations of the earth. He knows what's going to happen. And we are being told that don't worry about it. We are sons of light. We're to watch for his coming, for him to come. Things that are happening now in our world, yes, they're discouraging. And it is very easy for us to get depressed. And look at, but that's because we are not being as hopeful as we are supposed to be. We're not looking at Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and our salvation, and that we are not destined to be judged and destroyed. We are destined to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him. There again, I can't help this, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get it straightened out, because if you don't, you're headed for eternal damnation. You will be separated from God, and all those who are in heaven that you love, that have accepted the Lord, you'll be separated from them forever. We beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And we admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He's asking us not to take and be argumentative about things, not to be picky about stuff. You're supposed to be at peace among yourselves. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. I'm hoping that's what I'm doing this morning. Encourage the faint-hearted. Support the weak. And be patient towards all men. And see that none renders evil for evil unto anyone, but rather follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. We do that often. The Spirit that lives within us is what gives us hope here on this earth. It was the down payment of our salvation, to help us to take and be comforted. The Holy Spirit, if you quench it, in other words, when a fire is burning full tilt in a fireplace, and if you took a 5-gallon bucket of water and you poured that in that, at first there's nice and warm, and if you threw water in there on that fire, that's called quenching. Right? Puts it out. So if you're going to take and quench the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're going to be the most miserable soul that ever lived on the earth. If you're trying to squelch the Holy Spirit, because you know what happens to me? Here's a little confession for you. When I, and as old as anybody, any of us get, and I'm sure all of us older folks here will know that, Dr. Dave probably knows it better than most of us, that sin just does not go away. We have this sinful part of us that takes and keeps cropping up here and there. I had another old pastor that used to say that he had a besetting sin that kept crawling up on him. And you know what happens with me when I start to think of doing a sin, if I'm sinning? I used to be a song leader. I was a song leader for almost 40 years, right, Kelly? That was 40 years. And every song I've ever sung that we sing on the hymns is in my head. Can't forget them. Isn't that wonderful? It can be. But there again, too, is just the Holy Spirit within me takes, and when I'm going in the wrong direction, guess what happens to me? I start singing in my head. I have hymns that come unbidden to my mind. Scripture verses come unbidden to my mind. And you know what? You can take and quench the Spirit by pushing that aside and still sinning. That's quenching the Spirit. You want to put out the Spirit? Go ahead and sin. That'll throw water all over that fire that's in you. Don't do it. It breaks your heart because the Holy Spirit is in you and you're not to quench it. You're supposed to live with it and rejoice evermore. Despise not prophesying sayings. In other words, when somebody's talking, kind of like what I'm doing this morning, I'm talking about the word of the Lord. If you're despising it, something's not right with your heart. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How many times do we push that aside and quench the Holy Spirit and we don't hold fast to the things that are good? You ever heard of the song, Count Your Blessings? Count your blessings one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Set you apart, set you aside. And I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here comes the key to it all. Faithful is he that called you, who also shall do it. Our God is faithful in performing what he said he would do. When he said that he would save you from your sins, he meant it. He is faithful in getting rid of that. Now, Satan likes to take and try to pull you down there and remind you that you know, well, you're just a sinful, evil man. No, I'm a saved, sinful, evil man. God took my sins and cast them in the deepest sea, and he will never bring them up again. They're gone. I am living a life that God has given to me because he's faithful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is faithful to fulfill that. That is the greatest verse that we could ever commit to memory. And thank God our children, there's generations of children that have that in their heads. And may it never return empty. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you forever. Amen. Then turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and our gathering together unto him, that you don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter from us, as the day of the Lord is present. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come the falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed and the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now you know what holds back, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in him that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sent them strong delusion, that they should not believe the lie, and that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When this was written, it was written in the aspect that the believers in Thessalonica were being taught by someone else that they were in the Daniel 70th week. They were in the time of the tribulation, and that the things were happening during that time frame. Well, do you really realize what was happening during that time frame during Thessalonica? They were killing people, putting them to death, feeding them to lions and animals, burning them at the stakes, crucifying them. They were capturing them and destroying, trying to destroy the believers. They thought they were in the middle of the tribulation during the end times. So at this time, guess what? They didn't have the book of Revelation. Do you know that? Didn't have it yet when Thessalonians was written. They only had what Paul had been telling them. So he's trying to enlighten them here a little bit, and he says, you know, this isn't it. You're not in the middle of the tribulation, because if you were, you know, you wouldn't have been saved. You know, you're saved. And so when he's talking about this part, he's trying to get them on track of the aspect that the day of the Lord isn't there. Now, if we take and we look right now, we're getting to the point to where it's getting pretty rough in our world right now. But the day of the Lord is not here. It's coming, but it's not here. But we're destined to something greater. We're destined to salvation. And God has taken and told us, like in different parts of the scripture, we believe in the rapture, what we believe that we are taking out before the tribulation happens. And, you know, I can go into detail about that, but that would take a whole nother time, and I'd leave that to better qualified people than I am. But the Lord knows how to deliver us out of the testing, the temptations that we have. and things that are happening now, be encouraged that we are closer than ever to the return of Christ. And we're supposed to watch. And the reason that we can do it with a heart full of joy. Now, it's not the same as happiness, guys. But a heart full of joy and looking forward to the aspect that Christ took and saved me, and I'm going to be with him forever. And I have nothing else to worry about or fear. Our world today is full of fear. Everywhere you look, people are afraid of dying. Did you know that? COVID just kind of brought that out, quote unquote. But everyone is afraid and fearful of dying. Why are we afraid? Should we be? No. Because why? The only one that has power over death has taken care of it for me, and I have no worries whatsoever. I can enter into the presence of God joyfully and get to look across the way and see my dad, my grandpa, all kinds of people, because I know the Lord has saved them too. And I have a blessed hope that when I do go home to be with the Lord, I'll get to see them. I get to see Gordy. You know, I miss him. But I'm going to get to see Gordy. I wonder if God's got him busy trying to do some mechanical something up there. You know, I have no idea what God has prepared for us. It says that it hasn't entered into our minds what God has prepared for those who love him. But it's got to be better than here. And so do not fear. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you accepted him for the forgiveness of your sins and so that you can stand before God, then you have no reason to fear. There is no reason for you to fear death. I told people before, I don't fear dying. I fear the process. That's what I don't like. I don't really fear it. I just don't like it. Don't like the idea of getting there. But the thing is absent from the body is present with the Lord, right? So I have something else for you that I want you to, you can join me on a refrain, but I'm going to read through this. And I want you to, it's sometimes you view it differently when you hear someone just read it. And I want you to take this home with you because it's a truth that is everlasting. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on my Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. And when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. A little different when you hear it just spoken. You want to sing the chorus with me? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Now you're dismissed. I hope you're blessed this morning.